be the center.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and I'm delighted today to welcome certified financial planner and stewardship expert Michael Novak. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Welcome to the show. For those of you who do not know Michael, he is an executive director of Life Stewardship Advisors in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where he helps individuals, couples, and organizations with financial, estate, and charitable gift planning. His team at Life Stewardship Advisors works to help you discover, plan, implement, and monitor godly stewardship over the resources God provides for his plans and purposes in your life. Michael, I've heard you say that a balanced steward manages more than money. You're a financial planner, so what do you mean by that?
Well, that's an interesting concept, and let me explain it in a very, very simple visual. If you could imagine just a wheel, and at the center of that wheel is a hub, write God in that hub as a spiritual component, and then consider six other sections. They're obviously not quadrants because there are six different. And none of them have to be equal because in life, these other areas are never the same. So if you can imagine, one of those would be possessions or stuff, the things that we have stewardship responsibility for. Another one of those sections would be health or the physical, everything that has to do with our bodies. You know, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility to take care of that. The third component, financial, which is what gets most of the press. But I did that deliberately to bring it down to the third one because it's just a part of good stewardship. Sure, there's lots of verses and lots of things in the Bible pertaining to finances, but it's only one component of what we have stewardship responsibilities for. Then there is an area that some refer to as talents. This is the vocation. This is where all of our expertise and experience, knowledge, training all comes to play. This is an area that we have stewardship responsibility as well. Then time. Everybody has the same time. And, you know, you can argue that to a certain degree that, well, we only have so much time for this or that. But yes, we do have a responsible stewardship perspective to, you know, using our time well. And then relationships. Think about relationships. There's lots of relationships that we have responsibility for. And God is at the center of that. So there's that wheel. If you feel that there's more than six of those areas surrounding that God component, that spiritual component in the middle, that's okay. But I don't think it's any less than those. When those are in balance, that's what we're talking about from a total stewardship perspective.
That's a balanced life, right? And I think most people have often thought that stewardship is just over finances, not over all of these other areas. So that's really great. So you've just told us, Michael, that there are seven areas of life resources that we manage. Let's see if I get them right. Okay, so money, possessions, time, talents, health, relationships, and spiritual resources, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so why is knowing these areas important to living a balanced life?
Well, let me come back to really how we even approach this. At Life Stewardship Advisors, obviously, we're passionate about stewardship, and we define it in this way. We're helping you kind of shift the paradigm of what most people think stewardship is to what I think is the total biblical perspective. So you have to start with what many people actually do respect and do believe, that God's got a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I think that we would all agree with that. Most of the world accepts that as a common truth, particularly for those who are believers, those who are followers of Christ. But the second aspect of that is that God also intends for us to reach our full potential through that plan and purpose. So then that kind of bodes the question, well, where does this come from? All the way back to Genesis 22, when God blessed Abraham, the seed of Abraham, that he said all nations would be blessed through Abraham. And that context is to enable all nations to reach their full potential. Follow our genealogy of, well, our engrafting into the family of Jesus Christ. You follow his genealogy straight back to Abraham. We have the same potential that Abraham had thousands of years before Christ. And just one other aspect about potential. What is full potential? Don't get hung up on that, because full potential literally starts at a point and then it goes to a greater point, and then a greater point, and higher and higher. In essence, full potential is never reached, but not something to intimidate us or to discourage us. It's actually something to energize us, because that means that there's more and more ability that we have to reach that. So don't let that concept become a problem, but that's what life stewardship really encompasses.
And full stewardship that you were mentioning is probably different for everybody.
It absolutely is.
Or full potential, I guess. We all have different levels, different talent. We're all different.
No question. All of us are different. I mean, we use that analogy in our seminars. Mm-hmm. Your eyes, you know, the retina, your voice box, your fingerprints, your walk, your heartbeat, every aspect about you. So too would be that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so too would be that unique plan and purpose that he has for your life.
That's great. So, Michael, give us some practical examples of stewarding the other areas of our lives. For example, how do you wisely steward your relationships?
That's really a good question, because oftentimes when I talk to people and I present this idea of multiple aspects of stewardship, I can see a lot of guys pause and look at that relationship thing and say, man, that is a tough one.
Because you scare the guys off with that?
Particularly,
that's not good.
Particularly, it scares the guys off. But what I would do is I would start by identifying all the relationships that we have in life. Now, if you're married, you have a spouse. If you have children, clearly there. What about then the people you work with, or committees, boards that you serve on? And how about when it trickles down to just to those day-to-day interaction with people, maybe at the grocery store or the gasoline attendant or whatever that may be? These are all relationships, interpersonal relationships, actually, and sometimes they're not so good. So we can't always gravitate to the good things in life. We have to confront those that have been difficult or problematic. So I would start by doing that, and then salvage those good relationships, continue to strengthen those, invest in other relationships that you have not invested, that you know do have the time or the ability to do, or that's, you know, the right time. We've all had this, certain relationships with different people, and then reconcile when needed with other relationships, particularly when it comes to family.
Absolutely. I always say we have something to learn from everyone that we talk with each day, that we meet, that we work with. And if we all just take that time to make that connection and learn and listen, that it builds relationships.
It's deliberate too. It is something that we do have to work with, particularly some with those tough personalities.
No, there aren't any of those. We all love each other. So it seems like it might be more difficult for some to manage the relationship part. And I would think that the women would have time with managing the time segment. So I know we need to manage our time wisely, but how about the resources of health too?
Yeah. A really good topic to actually discuss too. And as you can imagine, when we do this in a longer way, we break out each one of these sections. But health is that area that people are most, I think, concerned from a planning perspective. We do very comprehensive planning, and that health aspect, there's so much uncertainty related to that. I mean, the Supreme Court was just ruling on it again today, and they don't know where that's going. So I look at it from this. Our seminars have been literally based on, we can't give you good answers on where that's going, but we can give you some potential advice on what you should do. I recently saw a Johns Hopkins study about the sickest people in America, which is the 10% sickest people in America consume 65% of all the medical resources in this country.
Wow.
That's only one in 10 consume 65%. And then when you look at it from the perspective of how much of those sick people are actually lifestyle controllable issues, that's almost 8 out of those 10. So you factor that out, over half of the total medical resources in the country are consumed by about 70 to 80% of that sickest people, sickest amount, and their lifestyle. They can be avoided. So what I would say to you is that, what about just slowing down a little bit, you know, building a little margin. Dr. Richard Swenson wrote a book called Margin with some other type of thing built in there. How about eating better? How about sleeping better? How about a little exercising? All these factors kind of come into play to create healthier lifestyles, of which I know there's a lot of attention to it, but we just have to do it. And ultimately, that becomes our advice to those people who are so uncertain about the changing state of healthcare, have the least potential to have to use it by living a healthier lifestyle, which then translates to that section of stewardship about the physical, just taking care of our bodies a little bit better.
We see so many healthcare issues, and it's due to the processed foods. And we have several different health coaches that are on Balanced Life that can help with that. But yes, our health is very important to take care of and be a steward of. And that's a good one. So how about the stewardship of our talents?
I always admire people who have taken what they know and what they really are bent on and just really channeling and focus, especially younger people. I've met some young people who really, you know, get that at an early stage of life, and they've been building on it ever since. I think that that's really what that is. For example, take somebody who is a science type of person. They like all the sciences, but eventually they'll focus and channel into a much more focused area. And those people, utilizing their education, their experience, their training, the spheres of influence, they apply that to the best of their ability, and that's where they keep on getting better and better. That's about what I was talking about earlier about achieving full potential.
That's great, Michael. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our talk about good stewardship. We have Michael Novak, a certified financial planner of Life Stewardship Advisors of Lancaster. Stay with us.
Be the center. Be my hope. Be my song.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason.
Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and we are speaking with Michael Novak, Certified Financial Planner of Life Stewardship Advisors of Lancaster. Welcome back there, Michael.
Thanks for welcoming back.
Yeah. So we're talking today about stewarding our life's resources. And so I have the question of, do you teach people how to manage their time and how to manage this whole circle of stewardship?
We do. And we do in several different venues. We do it in the form of seminars. We have done it in writing. We do it over a course. It's a 7-week course, actually. Bible College gives credit for that. There's multiple ways in which you can get it done, but the most practical way is in an individual face-to-face meeting and multiple conversations with potential clients.
So it's not that you only give financial advice. You will help them with all the other...
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Because if we recognize from a stewardship perspective that the financial is only one of the aspects. And, you know, if you really want to get a better handle on this, you should go to fullpotentialsteward.com. That is where we kind of break this out. So I'm just going to be more on the surface. But what we do when we typically talk to an individual, sure, we meet them where they're at because that's most important because, see, that is that which is most important to them. In a typical planning type of style, people would gather data, like someone like myself or someone in my industry would gather data. Then they would put together a plan, present it to you. They would implement the plan to the best of their ability. And then hopefully there's ongoing monitoring. But in that scenario, I've read statistics as high as in the 80th percentile. Those plans never get put, they're never completed.
The execution piece is always the hardest, right?
And you know why? Because they're not sure they're executing what they should be executing.
Wow.
So when you go back, if you start at the heart, say, because life stewardship is a heart issue, and if you start at a point of what is most important to you, that's what starts to manifest itself, and that's how the planning then could fall right into place to support that.
Yeah.
And here's a very, very simple exercise for anybody who's out there listening. If you're struggling with even how to get started, just you and your spouse, or if it's an individual, whomever it is, find a time alone where you could just throw out on the table all the things that matter to you. Take that circle that I was talking about, you know, the stuff, the possessions, the physical, the financial, the vocational piece, the time, relationships, God in the center, that spiritual component. Think about all those things and then start to identify all the things that matter most to you and start shaking them down a little bit and find out what are the two or the three that are most important. And that's where you begin. That's what starts to form a plan from a life stewardship perspective.
And getting started is like a big key also, or a big holdup with some,
no,
too.
It's huge.
But it doesn't have to be. You make it easier.
But that's another good component because this is a very important part of the teaching. It is very difficult to get started. You need help to get started.
That's where you come in.
Well, it is part of what I do. But the other part of what you do, in a sense, is are you willing to take those first steps? And we'll have somebody come alongside you, in a sense, to train you initially. That's kind of like a hand-holding, spoon-feeding type of... Mm-hmm. Then there's a little bit less of that, which is coaching. But still, that's even where the financial component and those things, because most people can't do that. Ultimately, you get to a point where you're just overseeing, hopefully supervising and delegating, because we ultimately want people to become much better givers of their time, their resources, their money. This is what, you know, stewardship and the Bible teaches us about these things. So it's, in a way, you might even be hearing, this is countercultural to the traditional side of our industry, which is not to necessarily gather assets and keep them there as long as we possibly can. It's about making sure much of that gets out into kingdom work.
Yeah, you might be fighting the culture there, and that might be change for some, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing, but you know something? Then we work with those who are willing to do it that way. Mm-hmm. It's a big component, and most people are open to it, actually.
It's true, and the people we've had on Balanced Life, you know, so much of it comes back to having a plan for God, having a plan for your life, having a plan for your health, your finances, mm-hmm. And insurance and things like that.
Right.
And a plan is very important because ultimately we're following His plan, but then, as you say, we have to guide our components of that stewardship circle.
Right. So sometimes it's just a little difficult to kind of put it all together with all the information and everything we have out there. We just need a little help to put it in order.
True. So what are the benefits of this total life stewardship if we put it all together?
Yeah, that's actually another very good question. And when we started doing this way back when and started looking at this life, what they called life planning concept, and which is now biblically holistic life stewardship, we said, what are those benefits? There has to be something real tangible. So these are some of the things that you really can achieve. It kind of goes back to Andrew Carnegie's book, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That book written in 1936 had like about 10 bullet points. It says, this is what this book will do. Well, this is what life stewardship. If you can expect these things from applying life stewardship principles. How about greater clarity on your life vision? Closer connection in your relationship to God. Another point, satisfaction through purposeful achievements. How about the ability to identify your goals and determine the means by which to accomplish them? Confidence to move forward in your financial and family legacy planning. Increased priority and use of time. Understanding of your talents, temperament, and spiritual gifts, that's how you apply that into your vocation. That's how you get to that full potential piece, amongst other ways. Implementation of a simpler lifestyle in order to gain focus and relieve distraction. Evaluation and expansion of relationships, reconciling where needed. Improved health as a means to a richer life. And finally, joy through increased giving. These are just some of the components. These also, if you haven't gotten those, these are also on the fullpotentialsteward.com site.
That's quite a list. And who doesn't want all that? That does sound like a joyful life. That's wonderful. So, okay. So in recapping, is there anything else that we need to do to help with this full stewardship circle?
And this is what we do actually when we teach it, because you reinforce. Remember, we're talking about a paradigm shift. And I know I don't use that, you know, in the way that has been cliched, because really all it is a different understanding of something that we have, you know, come to know in a certain way. But I'm really using the biblical paradigm. So this is what we're just simply going back to, an old established idea. And if you start with, again, just what the Bible teaches us, that God's got a plan and a purpose for our life, we can agree easily with that. If we could add to that, that He expects for us to reach our full potential through that, that's a great additional concept, because most people aren't thinking, oh, that can get a greater amount out of me. Yes. And that would energize them to moving in that direction. Now, you can establish that the scriptural principles are true. Then the real practical side of actually getting going on it is difficult. So that's why I mentioned to you earlier, if you just kind of throw out on the table all the things that matter, start with that. That's a simple way to actually get started. But realistically, if you started to condition yourself to apply just trying to get a better understanding of what these life stewardship principles are and apply them, more and more of your planning would be able to come into focus. And it is about getting clarity on that early on. Remember, it's very difficult to get clarity. Ephesians 4 teaches us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. The translation of that is to balance the scales within God's plan and purpose for our life. Imagine that circle again that we talked about keeping that in balance. Colossians 1 teaches us that Jesus holds the universe in a delicate balance. He certainly can keep a relationship with us, each and every one of us, in that perfect balance as well, too.
Thank you, Michael, for coming in today. We had Michael Novak, a certified financial planner at Life Stewardship Advisors of Lancaster. Please stay tuned. He will be with us first Saturday of every month on The Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing Concepts.
Be my vision. Be my path. Be my guide, Jesus.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. It sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. And today we welcome back Michael Novak from Life Stewardship Advisors. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for coming back on this show. You, the Life Stewardship Advisors, will be airing every first Saturday of each month. So please tune in. And for those of you who do not know, Michael and his team at Life Stewardship Advisors in Lancaster Pennsylvania help individuals, couples, and organizations with financial, estate, and charitable gift planning. Speaking of charitable gifts, today's program is about special ways to give. Tell us what we'll learn today, Michael.
Well, we're going to learn some things about giving. We're going to learn about the charitable aspect. Just charitable giving through special means is what we call it, and special means is multiple different ways in which we can do it.
Okay. And what are the different ways?
Well, I'm going to give you kind of like a little bit more concise, but just to bear in mind that these things are kind of expanded on our website, lifestewardshipadvisors.com or fullpotentialsteward.com. So if anybody really wants to get into it, because some of them get specific or technical, but that's not what I intend to do today. I wanted to talk a little bit about really why people give, because at the core of charitable giving is benevolence and generosity. And that's really kind of an important distinction, because we talk a lot about philanthropy today. And philanthropy gives to all kinds of different causes. Some of them are good humanitarian causes, and some of them a lot of us as Christians would not necessarily believe in. Mm-hmm. So philos, from the standpoint of man, and when you talk about this, you know, it's built into really, it's kind of a lexicon to a point. Christian philanthropy, it really isn't that. It's more benevolence and generosity. And I only stress that because people who are benevolent and who are generous are going to continue to be that way. Even if we have charitable deductions reduced or we lose that charitable deduction, it just may affect how much they give, when they give it, you know, to whom they give it. But that's what's going to maybe, you know, perhaps happen in the not too distant future. I've got a ring, my wedding ring, that I actually bought in Israel. And it says in my best Hebrew, Ki matzata chen lifne Adonai, which means that you have found favor before God. And, excuse me, I say that specifically because America has been blessed by God in a way that nobody really can comprehend. You have to go back and study the history of the economies of the world for centuries and look at the thousands of years that passed. Because even when the first people came to America, their standards of living even were poorer or were worse off than when they where they had come from, typically from Europe. But what happened when America adapted the principles of, you know, the economic principles literally that are set forth in the scriptures and applied them, I mean, even free markets, a free enterprise, you know, being rewarded for what you, for what you do. Think about the people with the talents. You know, they were given more for the more that they achieved. They were actually given more responsibility and able to achieve more. It wasn't about taxing them for their efforts. It was about rewarding them for their efforts. So our economic system is a little topsy-turvy. It's a lot topsy-turvy, actually. But the principles that were set forth in the Bible have produced wealth beyond, in the last 100 years, the wealth of America has so far eclipsed all the economies of the world combined in all those centuries prior. So we have a real unique opportunity, but we also have a distinct responsibility to do well with that.
Well as individuals, but well as a country too, I think. So, Michael, are you fluent in Hebrew?
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
I appreciate you saying that.
I was impressed, though. Okay.
But if I could go to you know, giving a few statistics, because I like them, I'm not really a numbers guy. Last year we gave...
You're in finances.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I know. But
okay.
Some, you know, the
all
statisticians,
right.
The mathematicians, the
okay.
Accountants, the actuaries, they love that stuff.
Yes.
Okay. I like it because I see it as a real broad application. We gave over $330 billion in America last year. That was the number. That's a lot of money. But when you think about that, it really is coming from a small percentage of people. Remember I mentioned just... previously that we have made so much. I mean, the trillions of dollars that potentially could pass to the next generation, if it's not squandered, yes, it could eventually pass. Some statistics would show you, and I don't know this for certain, but it is estimated that up to a third of the world's wealth is in the hands of Christians. Now, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Now, even if that is a little high, reduce it to about 30%, and that's fair. Mm-hmm. But what we do know for certain, because there are foundations who have studied this and have continuous research, that 80% of that world's wealth in Christians is in America. So Christian Americans, which is about 1 out of 8, about 12.5% of the population of the United States who are true believers, followers of Christ, are responsible for that wealth.
That's a big responsibility.
That's a huge responsibility. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to factor it out, so it comes down to that, you know, about 24% or maybe 1/4, somewhere in that range, of the world's wealth is in the hands of Christian Americans. Hmm. That's a lot of wealth.
Then
if you really want to put it in perspective from the standpoint of how much we are worldwise, America is about 4.4% of the world's population. What does that trickle down to? That just a little over 1/2, 1% of the world's population controls about 24% of the world's wealth. So when I gave you this number about $330 billion, now that doesn't account for, you know, all the gifts in kind, like the meals and the clothing and time that we spend in doing all those kind of things. That seems like a lot. But from what I just previously told you, it shows that we can do much, much more.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a gap there. So what does the Bible teach us about giving, since we have that capability? Gifts in kind, gifts of time.
Right.
Benevolent.
The Bible does. And this is not intended to be any kind of a legalistic point of view, because the Old Testament has a different way of describing giving and the tithe. And we've heard that 10% thing for a lot of years. Actually, if you really study deeper into it, it was up to 25% that was tithe. But shoot over to the New Testament. Jesus only made one reference about tithing in the New Testament, and it was never a number, but it was about giving in spirit and in truth, and then what was God putting on your heart. So the implication was that we would actually give more than what we had previously given in the Old Testament. And there's an important thing, too, that there's no haphazard giving. You shouldn't do that. I've heard some people in recent meetings talk about, well, the important thing is just to start giving. Well, that couldn't be any further from the truth. You just can't do that without having some thought or maybe prayer and guided by the Holy Spirit. You mentioned about gifts in kind. You mentioned about time. These are ways in which people who don't have a lot of financial resources can give in a significant way. And by the way, people give mostly impulsively. You know, think about it. Why do they pass the plate every Sunday or, you know, in synagogues like every Saturday, whatever? Because people, oh yeah, remember. That's why we'll talk a little bit more here about planned giving, because you could do much, much greater, and we really should. We should be thinking about that. But most of our giving is done spontaneously.
I know at the holidays, my mailbox is full of all the charitable mailings and things like that. I think we're more generous around the holidays, and it is more spontaneous giving.
That's the incentive.
It's all about timing.
It does work to a point, yes.
It sure does. So we are here today with Michael Novak from Life Stewardship Advisors. So if you could tell us how we get in touch with you, Michael, if our audience would like additional information.
Right. As I had mentioned, go to fullpotentialsteward.com or lifestewardshipadvisors.com. Those are two ways. The website is loaded with some good information, good resources. Area code 717-560-2813. And Nancy Meyer is there on the other end to always start and give you a great hello.
Please join us in the second segment with WFYL's financial planning expert, Michael Novak. I am Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing. We'll be right back.
And he says, be the reason that I live.
Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
For more information on how you can advertise your business on News Talk 1180 WFYL, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, 1 second I'm taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and I'm speaking with Michael Novak from Life Stewardship Advisors, WFYL's financial planning expert. Today, on our Balanced Life here, Michael's teaching us about charitable giving through special means. So is there a special time to give, such as a bequest?
Well, yes, there's a special time in a sense that multiple times. A bequest, interestingly enough, is after death. A lot of people give monies after they die. And it wouldn't surprise you to know that the number one recipient of charitable bequests in the country year after year is the Salvation Army, which people just include in their wills, but it's after death. They have done very, very little during their lifetime. So what can we do during lifetime? What we're doing? Because organizations, churches, not-for-profits, people, anything need ongoing funds. Well, you can give it out of your cash. You could give it out of cash flow. You could give it out of your income. You could give it out of your investments. You could give it out of your business. Because, you know, a lot of people don't think of those areas. Most of the time, giving is only given out of cash. But the planned giving aspect is where we start getting into other areas that are way beyond just the normal, you know, every week type, you know, once in a while type giving. And typically speaking, I want to say something too that's a kind of a sad statistic, is that as people make more money in the Christian community, they have a tendency to give more, but their percentage is less. And that's a trend that has to be reversed.
Oh, interesting, because I would have thought it would have been higher. So, okay,
well, but interesting. But here's an interesting thing too, because I belong to a group called Kingdom Advisors. And the fellow by the name of Ron Blue, who organized that and started that, they applied these biblical principles of financial stewardship to their clients. And literally what they discovered in their keeping good metrics and statistics is that if people apply these biblical principles, and again, I'm specifying financial stewardship, as they were at the $100,000 income per year threshold, they were giving at least 10%. And each $100,000 increment, so $200 to $300, all the way up to $1 million a year in income, that they were incrementally rising, so that by the time they were in that seven figures, they were actually giving over 25% per year. So it can be done. The key is teaching these good principles of biblical financial stewardship and then applying them.
I was going to say, it's teaching them statistics, you know, as percentages and ratios. Maybe that's what we need to send them back to school.
Well, some of that's true, but you can't keep impounding. It has to be a heart issue.
True. Yeah, exactly. True. So, okay, now you've described how inclined we should be to be regular givers. How about future gifts, oftentimes after death?
Yeah.
This one I am really curious about.
Yeah, but most of the time, you know, like you said, people give during lifetime and they don't do a real good job about planning. But I'm going to tell you, if you do not plan to give, it really is a tragic effect on an estate. It's a tragic effect on communities, and it's a tragic effect on family legacies. See, people want, and this is important to them today, to pass on a family legacy. But if they're not planning well on how they're going to have a component in there that's going to be forgiving, much is going to be squandered.
So do you, it seems like after the economy crashed there a little bit, the people are struggling more to plan and planning to give. More families are struggling day to day. Do you think?
To a certain extent, that's true. But again, if you apply the principles that God teaches us from an economic financial point of view, it doesn't matter what the economy is. It doesn't matter what culture we live in, what government. If we apply these principles, it is going to work for us. And people can continue to give on a regular basis. If you look at America, there are like sections of the country that clearly are having hardship. But there are also sections of the country that are these pockets of prosperity. See, that happens all the time. So yes, and maybe even the more difficult times gives communities an opportunity to rally around others and start to give of the resources. I volunteer for a local rescue mission in Lancaster. And we found out when that economic downturn occurred, yes, the bigger major gifts dropped off. But guess what? The smaller gifts, the $20, sometimes $10, and under $100, those increased to the point of making up a huge part of that gap. People see others as worse off than themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a heart issue. That is really a part of what benevolence and generosity is about.
You just took away some of our excuses, I guess,
well,
right?
To a certain extent, that is very true.
And I did notice that when the economy crashed, our church, we did rally around the struggling families. And it was really neat to see that unity. And it might not even been all financial, but it was a lot of giving and volunteering and things like that.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
You're right. I think we readjust to the times and we do have to readjust our thinking.
Sure. Give some kind. And you asked me a question, Renee. I didn't want to miss this. You said, what are some other good examples of mm-hmm. planned giving?
Mm-hmm.
Well, bequest sure is one. It's a very simple thing. It's put into the will. So that's at least there. It's in writing. It's a legal document. Most of America is built on the back of small business. Small businesses mostly give out of cash when they do giving. But if you look at the balance sheet for a small business, you'll see that it's typically around 5% in cash. What about the rest of the assets of the business? See, there are techniques in which a business could actually give out of its growth or its earnings. And some of these small businesses grow at such a fast pace that the giving is being exceeded by the ongoing growth.
Interesting. I always think of individuals, but yes, it does relate to the business level.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. then there are different ways of making permanent gifts. And that's really a key because charitable organizations not only need ongoing gifts, but they need gifts that will be coming, but put them in a permanent format. Like, for example, people have gifted through insurance, in a permanent form of insurance. So they slice off a little portion of their estate, a small portion, maybe less than 1% on an annual basis to fund a policy that will leverage a much greater benefit that will be permanent planned gift for charity ongoing.
And you're right. There's so much importance to small businesses. They are usually the ones giving back to community and giving back in certain ways. And maybe it's good to reevaluate and measure. It's good for them to measure and make sure that they're
right.
Yeah.
Great.
Still paying it forward, so to speak. So what are some other good examples of planning?
A good way that I would approach it. In fact, we talked to lots of people and it would, again, be interesting to note that there are not that many people in America with a net worth of over $10 million. So when I'm talking about these concepts, I'm really talking about a lot of regular people, a lot of people who've just worked hard and, you know, put away a little bit, lived within the principles of good financial stewardship, and now they have something to deal with. So toward the end, you know, you get to a point in which they are saying, all right, I'm going to be now approaching this term retirement. And I don't even want to get into that. Retirement doesn't exist biblically because there's so much that we could give back even beyond that. But there will come a point in time when they won't have the same level of earned income. So the cash flow could potentially be reduced. So if you can imagine, draw a pyramid, you know, on a piece of paper, and then that bottom segment of the pyramid becomes the expenses, or I should say becomes the assets in which you're going to be living at. That's going to generate the standard of living. And then there's a component in the center of that pyramid, the much bigger one, which is the piece that typically you want to pass on to your heirs, your children. And that's part of the family legacy. And for all intents and purposes, a lot of that invested assets or the assets that are going to provide you the standard of living will also be part of that inheritance. But what about that little piece on the top of that pyramid, that discretionary piece? That's the piece that actually can be utilized for charitable purposes.
Okay.
And that's a good place to start. And sometimes the charitable component could also substitute as a combination cash flow piece, like in the form of a charitable gift annuity, for example. It's a completed gift. It will provide a benefit to your favorite charities, but it will also provide you with a guaranteed income stream for life.
As you can tell, Michael's very visual. We had circles, now we have triangles. We'll be talking about squares next. No, I'm just kidding. So, all right, tell us quickly, Michael, what are the first steps you suggest for listeners who want to make a lifetime gift to a ministry?
Well, again, you know, how much does it resonate with you? I mean, do you really recognize that, yes, am I giving out of the heart? Am I truly know that this is something not only that I am responsible and, in a sense, required to, but do I truly want to? Because, you know, the Bible does teach us that, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. And it also does teach us that it is more blessed to give than receive. It is. Also blessed to receive as well, too. Sometimes we're in a position in which, you know, we're helped out and it comes back and forth to us. So there's multiple ways, again, in which we can do it. It's not about just doing something. It's about thinking and praying and making good application.
Absolutely. So how can our audience get in touch with you if they'd like more information?
FullPotentialSteward.com or LifeStewardshipAdvisors.com.
We thank you, Michael, for helping us think about charitable giving today. We look forward to having you back on The Balanced Life the first Saturday of each month. We've been talking to certified financial planner and money expert Michael Novak from Life Stewardship Advisors in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Could I close with this, Renee?
Please.
Three things. All of us are called to be givers. Remember, it's more blessed to give than receive. Number two, find opportunities to give, especially if time, if your resources are limited. And three, plan your giving. Do it through prayer and Holy Spirit direction. Then you're knowing where your assets and your gifts are going.
He's leaving us on a great note. As we've learned on The Balanced Life, planning is a balanced life and helps us with that balanced life. I am the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and we thank you, Michael Novak, from Life Stewardship Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact their Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people
of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.